a gun in the face.
Then all of a sudden, they all kind of lined up. They pointed their guns at me. And this is the point where I thought, I'm going to die today.
Started 2 years of horror for an American in Venezuela.
They said, you need to give us your phone and get ready because you're coming with us.
I'm Becky Bruce, and I spent a year researching and piecing together Josh and Tammy Holt's story about their ordeal in a notorious prison.
That's when everything started to turn bad. We had another pound on the door. Boom, boom, boom. And there was the police once again.
You can binge all of the episodes of Hope and Darkness on KSLPodcasts.com or wherever you get your podcasts.
Utah's best athletes count on flexibility, speed, strength.
And the Jazz pick up their 22nd assist.
So they count on University of Utah Health.
Brielle Soleil puts this game away.
And so can you. Leading doctors, a world-class environment, award-winning innovation, care to be great.
14 unanswered by the Utes.
University of Utah Health, caring for Utah's best and yours. Schedule your appointment now at uofuhealth.org/care to be great.
Final horn has sounded.
That'll do it.
And it's time for the Mark Miller Utah Jazz postgame show with your hosts, Jake Scott and the coach, Tim Lacombe.
Jazz postgame, Jake Scott, coach Tim Lacombe. Jazz fall tonight to the shorthanded Mavericks, 124-111. We'll get you some postgame sound coming up as soon as Coach Hardy gets to the podium. But the Jazz are in the middle of a long season, Coach. This is a tough time with the trade deadline coming. The Jazz all over the rumor mill. Almost every player on the squad has been mentioned in one report or another. And it just two games in a row where the effort hasn't been quite what we're used to, I think.
Yeah, and just the general feeling, I think, of the team. You know, driving in is, and gaining an advantage all year long is kind of spurred kickouts and shots, and just seems like the ball's sticky, a little bit more sticky. And defensively, you know, guys' assignments are being missed here and there, and offensive rebounds are a huge sign. Tonight, Dallas, offensive rebound, 41% of their own misses,
oof,
which is a season high for them.
Oof. Yeah, 17 offensive rebounds for the Mavs tonight. Out-rebounded the Jazz 49-37. The Jazz did have seven players in double figures, led by Jordan Clarkson, who had 26 on 7 of 19 shooting. Lauri Markkanen had 19 points on 9 of 17 shooting, 1 of 7 from 3. First game in 20 games, Lowry has not gotten to 20 points. 13 for Walker Kessler. He had 9 rebounds as well. Olynyk had 11. Mike Conley tonight with 10 and 11 assists. He had a double-double. Rudy Gay with 10. Colin Sexton with 10 coming in off the bench. But for Dallas, they got a career high off the bench from Jaden Hardy, who was 8 of 12 from the field, 4 of 6 from 3, 29 points. Josh Green also had 29 points for the Mavs. All five of their starters were in double figures tonight as well. Tim Hardaway Jr. gave them 17. So the Mavericks, I thought we'd see the Mavericks come out and play pretty hard. Some guys stepping into getting some opportunity maybe they don't normally get, and I think we saw that. But that shouldn't be something the Jazz shouldn't be able to overcome given what Dallas was missing.
Well, especially the names you're rolling out. You know, the Jazz are relatively healthy right now, and you know, at full strength, really would be expected to win this game. So just a little bit of a frustrating night by the Jazz. They, you know, missed a lot of shots early, and that definitely affects you. But effort-wise and energy-wise, which is something this team's been able to hang its hat on, just a little bit lax there. And really, that's, you know, we've been pretty honest all year long, but I think that that's a fair estimation of the game tonight.
What did you think about Locke's take that they didn't get a bunch of good looks from three? Because the three ball was dreadful tonight, 6 of 31, 19.4%. And really, the only one that shot at half decent from three tonight was Malik Beasley, and even he was 3 of 7.
I just don't feel like they're the same. You know, they're not getting the same type of looks. The ball's just a little bit late, you know, even maybe a fraction of a second late, but it's, the ball has moved freely this year. And right now it just seems like guys are driving with the intention of trying to figure out a way to score it. And then, you know, last second maybe throwing it. So the threes the Jazz are getting, in my mind, don't look to be as good of threes as they've gotten this year.
Cena, you know, watching games with you is always interesting. You're talking about the extra pass and that they're not even getting to the pass before the extra pass.
Correct, right.
If I'm reading your reaction watching the game correctly.
You did a great job as we were watching it of just, you know, we're discussing shot selection. And did they take that shot earlier in the year? And I think it was pretty obvious tonight there was just more of that. And I understand, like, this is an angsty time for guys. But it's definitely the outlier.
All right, let's get downstairs. It's time to hear from Jazz head coach Will Hardy.
They played harder than we did. They out-executed us. They obviously shot the ball a lot better than we did, which is part of the game. But, you know, this is the first game all season where I've just been – I feel disappointed in our focus. There's always nights where the bounces don't go your way. You don't make shots. The other team plays great. And there's a little bit of that in tonight's game, but – I felt like collectively we just did not have the necessary focus and attention to the little things. They had 27 points in transition and 24 second chance points, and that's why we lost the game. It's not because they made 15 threes, which credit to them. They knocked them down. We just did not have the necessary focus and physicality tonight, and we didn't deserve to win, and that's why we didn't.
Are there times when Jordan dribbles the ball too much and you have to tell him, like, right now is not the moment to play ISO?
Yeah, I mean, I think there's times where anybody on our team, Jordan included, can get caught up trying to kind of save us. It all comes from a good place. It comes from a competitive place of wanting to win. And, you know, I understand that feeling. And so it doesn't come from a place of selfishness or anything like that. And so it's just about kind of recentering everybody and getting back to moving the ball. But, you know, that being said, I think it's unfair to single out Jordan. Like, we have plenty of guys who get caught dribbling the ball. We have plenty of guys. There's, you know, times where it may not be apparent to you guys because it's not necessarily dribbling, but we have guys that are not executing because they're focused on something else. And it's about maintaining a collective focus throughout the game. And that's how you win in this league. That's how you have consistency night to night, is just finding out a way for 2.5 hour time increments. Can we block out everything else and focus on what's going on right here and right now? And, you know, we didn't do that tonight. And you couple that with bad shooting and you let not making shots, again, kind of bleed into your overall energy level and psyche and vibe and whatever word you want to use. And, you know, it's a recipe for a bad night.
You guys had a pretty decent-looking first quarter. At what point did you feel like those vibes were not where they needed to be?
Yeah, well, we let them back into the game from an emotional standpoint in the second quarter when they hurt us on the offensive glass and they got out in transition and got easy baskets. And then they started to feel good about themselves. And then they started knocking down threes. And, you know, basketball is a very momentum-based game. There's a lot of runs in any NBA game. You guys watch the games and know that. But there's clearly an emotional aspect to an NBA game and a team feeling belief and a team feeling good about themselves and taking over kind of the who's dictating the tempo of the game, you know, is very dangerous. And I thought in the second quarter, even though we ended up at the end of the half up by two, they clearly sort of took the momentum of the game and the game was being played at their pace.
How did you look at their offensive rebounding percentage tonight, and it's great. How did they get so many offensive rebounds around you guys?
Yeah, we did not do a good job as a group on the backside. You know, Powell is the one who hurt us the most. He had 8 by himself. So just not enough physicality under the basket early. You know, we've talked a lot about while the ball is in the air, you have to start doing your work on the glass. You can't wait until it hits the rim and then just think you're going to out jump everybody. There's obviously some in there with long shots being taken that are long rebounds, some that are, you know, not great bounces, but you know, we preach all the time that our smaller players have to try to gobble up as many of those rebounds at the free throw line as they can. We've just had too many go over our heads because we're sort of just walking towards the basket. So it's a combination of the physicality on the inside and then not doing a good enough job with the smaller players taking care of the long rebounds.
What did Josh Green do tonight to be so effective?
It seemed like everything he did was pretty good tonight. He drove and got to the rim. He got out in transition. He knocked down the open threes that he got for the most part, hit a couple tough pull-ups, but really he got in a rhythm. He rejected pick and rolls, did not do a good job guarding the ball, did not do a good job of keeping him from getting to his right hand.
You spoke pregame about the deficiencies of late in transition, and as you mentioned, 27 fast break wins tonight. What went wrong in that area?
A good number of those were off live ball turnovers, which are tough. But we also, again, just did not do a good enough job of taking care of the basket. We had some early in the game where we did get back and they missed the initial shot and we weren't able to get the rebound and they got putbacks. But I thought that their tempo was much better than ours. They did a really good job of throwing the ball ahead. You know, the ones that bother you the most are like the McKinley Wright one in the second half where he just goes full court by himself with the ball, sort of like a zigzag dribble and all the way to the rim and lays it in. Those are the frustrating ones. Live ball turnovers are tough. Second chance points in transition, you know, you'd hope that there are multiple guys back, but sometimes, you know, you're already at a disadvantage. It's 2-on-1 in transition, and so it's hard to contest the shot at the rim and get the rebound. But just not enough of a collective effort in that area tonight.
You mentioned that this is the first time this season that you felt disappointed after a game. I mean, as first-time head coach, like, how do you deal with that? How do you talk to the team afterwards? What's kind of your way of going about it when you feel like they just weren't as focused as they needed to be?
Yeah, I mean, I'm honest with them. I try to be honest with them all the time. It's not a personal attack on them. I'm still in the fight with them every single day, and that's, you know, that's my job. But, you know, part of my job also is to help provide perspective and an understanding of why things are happening, you know, in my opinion. It is just my opinion, but our staff, you know, we are around our team every day. When you're an NBA season, the group is around each other a lot, and so you really get to feel the energy of the team and kind of everybody's headspace and how everyone's doing. And you know, I told him tonight, it just felt at moments like we were somewhere else in our minds. You know, wherever that place is, I'm not exactly sure. It may be different for everybody, but we just did not seem to have that collective chip on our shoulder that we've carried with us all year. You know, I understand that 82 games, there could be a night like this. That's totally human. But it doesn't mean that you don't need to feel the disappointment and that they shouldn't feel disappointed as well. We've really prided ourselves all year on carrying that chip on our shoulder. And I think we've done that every night, win or lose, this year. And tonight it just felt like we sort of let off the gas a little bit. And tomorrow will be a good day to refocus and get ready for Wednesday.
Because you are around the team so much, did you at all feel like this was coming, you know, in terms of lack of focus? Or did you see that players were elsewhere at any point?
No.
Leading up to this?
No. I mean, yesterday we had a great practice. Guys were locked in pregame today. It's hard to put your finger on what makes something like this happen. You know, this is two games in a row where we've shot the ball really poorly from three. And, you know, we are a very good offensive team and we're a three-point shooting team. And so I do recognize that there's part of it where you get a little bit disheartened and frustrated you know, oh my gosh, what's going on? Like, I cannot make a shot right now. And I totally understand that. But, you know, we really try to talk as a group all the time about trying to get to the next thing and control what you can control. Expect that things aren't always going to go perfectly. And I think that's what's led our team to have the resilience that we've had all year. And, you know, this year, or excuse me, tonight, I don't know if we gave in to the missing shots or what it was. I'm not, you know, in some ways the reasons don't matter to me. You know, I still obviously, you know, still love the guys, still love our team. I'll still be there with them tomorrow and be trying to figure out what I can do differently and do better to help them regain that focus in those moments. Or, you know, there's always things that we need to self-evaluate as a staff as well. But, you know, this is a moment for them that, you know, they can take ownership as well. And they've done that all year. We've had tough games this year. We've had tough stretches this year. And, you know, credit to our guys. They've never blamed anybody else. They've all taken their piece of responsibility, and we've moved forward as a group. And tonight's, you know, another opportunity for us to do that.
Good. Thank you.
Thanks, guys.
There is Jazz head coach Will Hardy, disappointed after his team lost tonight to the Mavericks 124-111. With that, we will say goodnight to our network stations. Our next broadcast is coming your way Wednesday night. Rudy Gobert and the Minnesota Timberwolves will be in town. Tip-off for that game will be at 7 o'clock. For those of you sticking around with us, we'll have more post-game sound for you. We'll continue to get Coach Lacombe's thoughts as well. You're listening to Utah Jazz Basketball.
It's the story of an American held in a dark Venezuelan prison.
Then all of a sudden, they all kind of lined up. They pointed their guns at me. And this is the point where I thought, I'm going to die today.
I'm Becky Bruce. I spent a year working on Hope in Darkness, which now has more than 2 million downloads. Find it on KSLPodcast.com or wherever you listen to podcasts.
Printed. Jake Scott and the coach Tim Lacombe are breaking down how it all happened on the Mark Miller Utah Jazz postgame show.
Oh my!
Jazz postgame, Jake Scott, coach Tim Lacombe. Postgame brought to you by Mark Miller Subaru and the My Subaru Is campaign. Real stories from real Mark Miller Subaru customers. Share your Subaru story for a chance to win prizes. Learn more and share markmillersubaru.com. Jazz fall tonight to the Mavericks 124-111. And Jazz head coach Will Hardy, we just heard from him, said this was the first time this year. He's kind of disappointed was the word that that came up. And I think he feels what we saw, Coach. We were talking about it. You talked about it during crosstalk. Second game in a row, we've seen kind of a flat performance. And man, I think that's the right word for it. Flat. And Hardy, I'm sure it's. I would guess you tell me this. You're the coach, Coach. It's probably never easy to lose. But when your team pours it on and you just come up short, it's probably a lot easier than you feel like you left something because the effort or the focus or whatever buzzword you want to use wasn't there.
Yeah, it's for sure. And I'm glad that he actually, you know, was as transparent, because I think, you know, that helps us. I certainly don't ever want to, the last thing I want to do is criticize, but I think it's, you know, our job's to critique. And it just seems like, you know, a very fun team to watch this year with those hallmarks of playing really hard, being into the details and passing the ball. And I think that those are the pieces, those things, what this team identifies. I think why everybody's rallied around this team, and they were just missing tonight. So I'm glad that Coach pointed that out. I think, like he said, you know, you're not mad at them. You're not going to ban them from, you know, entering the cafeteria tomorrow to get food. But it's a teaching moment, and it's something, obviously, that everybody's got to take their piece off.
Let's check out the Master of the Glass, brought to you by Safe Light Auto Glass. Proud to present this year's Master of the Glass Rebound Program. At the end of the regular season, Safe Light will donate $5 to a charitable organization for each rebound secured by this year's team rebound leader. The rebounding was an issue tonight, Coach. The Master of the Glass was Walker Kessler with 9, but the Jazz were out-rebounded 49-37 and 17-10 on the offensive side. Dwight Powell himself had 16 rebounds 8 offensive rebounds, and that was a struggle for this Jazz team tonight.
Yeah, it's been 2 nights in a row, and I think that is one of the big things in terms of detail and physicality are, you know, making sure that you get a hit on blockouts. We've heard it all year long from assistant coaches. Alex Jensen said it last week against the Hawks, and you know, so it's something that these guys have just got to do. And a lot of the rebounds tonight, it's not like this team was, you know, bigger, stronger, faster. I think they were more engaged. And I think, you know, the more engaged team, it's kind of crazy how it happens, but they find the ball more. And they did, you know, rebounding alone, if you just looked at that number, you would probably realize that tonight wasn't the biggest energy night for the Jazz.
And if you don't bring the energy, you know, the other team may be shorthanded, but they're full of NBA players too. I mean, just look at Jaden Hardy tonight. Coach, he was coming into the game averaging, let's see, he's played 25 games this year. He's averaged 5.6 points per game.
In 10 minutes.
In 10 minutes.
Right.
He had 26 minutes tonight, finished with 29 points, an 8 of 12 shooting, 4 of 6 from 3. You know, I don't think that necessarily represents who he really is as a player, but it does show you that, you know, teams dig deep on the bench, and they're digging deep and NBA players are coming off that bench, and they're certainly capable and able to go out there and have big games if given the opportunity.
Yeah, and to me, you know, outside of the money that the players are paid, currency in the NBA is minutes, you mm-hmm. know? And the one thing I have learned in the short couple of years that we've done this together, nearly every single time there's been a group of guys out for a random reason and a bunch of young guys are going to get more minutes, it's you know, it doesn't always end up in a loss, but it's never the blowout that you think it's going to be. Because, again, which you just said, these guys are pros. But a guy like Hardy, who's really athletic, has not had a lot of time. You know, got 26 minutes tonight. On an average night, he gets 10. So he was really good. And like you say, you leave it out there and guys will go take their chance.
Seems like we saw that so much during the couple of seasons where – you know, dealing with guys missing games because of COVID, where all of a sudden there'd be these players that are signed to 10-day deals or whatever that are going out and having big-time games. And not to get diverted with a side topic, but I suppose if there was ever a night to do so, it would probably be tonight. It's the reason I personally think the NBA is actually ready for expansion. I'm not necessarily pro-expansion in sport. I think like Major League Soccer has expanded so quickly. The NHL expanded so quickly, you know, even recently, that I'm not so sure that that's necessarily the right move and that the talent, you know, can it handle that? The NBA, they've got enough talent. There's enough guys that can go out there and make it happen for another couple of teams. I think we're going to see 2 in the next couple of years. And I think the league is ready for it, honestly. They haven't expanded since, man, was it the Raptors and the Grizzlies? Had to be back in the mid-90s.
That's been a long...
Oh, the Bobcats. Thank you, Jamil. You're right. Yeah, because Charlotte lost their franchise and then they give them back.
The woods out there.
Yeah, can't do that. Can't do that. But yeah, the Bobcats, you're right, Jamil. It was the last time. And even that was 20 years ago? Pretty close, probably more even. Oh, yeah, 19 years ago. So, I mean, I think the league's actually ready for it. I mean, look at Hardy stepping in. Man, he was great tonight.
And to me, it does speak volumes about the way that the NBA has, you know, given guys different routes to be able to get to the NBA. You know, not being so stern about no one and dones, and certainly I think it's worked itself out, but the development and the money that they've put in around the world, you know, they have global academies. They're growing the game nicely, but we do have an abundance of talent, that's for sure. And I do agree with you that it could expand right now probably pretty easily.
All right, let's throw it back downstairs. We've got Walker Kessler from the locker room.
First time you felt disappointed, guys. Did you felt just like you had earned the focus? Did you guys feel that at all?
You know, I can only speak for myself. And I'm sure the guys were disappointed as well. But, yeah, you know, we felt that we were, you know, a better suited team tonight. And, you know, we didn't perform how we wanted to. So, definitely disappointed.
How hard is it? He mentioned that this is the second game in a row where a lot of
maybe good-looking shots didn't go in. Mm-hmm. How hard is it to not have disappointment over that kind of seep into other areas of the game?
Yeah, you know, it's very difficult. I think a lot of players struggle with that. But I think that the guys do a good job of, you know, letting that stuff go and getting back on defense. You know, tonight we just didn't play how we, you know, normally do.
Without having watched the film from the game, are you able to kind of comment on why they were able to get so many offensive rebounds?
You know, I think a lot of it was just because, you know, Powell is obviously a great, great rebounder, and I think that we got to work on, you know, gang rebounding. And then personally, you know, I think I let one or two go that I don't normally let people get. So, you know, we'll watch the film, recollect, and go from there.
Where are you guys struggling with transition defense?
I mean, you said it. You know, we're struggling with transition defense. I think that we struggle with getting back and getting matched up and being able to communicate. But, you know, we've worked on it, and, you know, we'll continue to work on it. All good.
Going to continue to work on it, Coach Lacombe.
And I've seen improvement. You know, right now they're going into, they're going through a period of time that's not real great. But I think there's been slippage in areas again. Tonight they didn't turn the ball over. That's a plus. Did a nice job of taking care of it. But yeah, the offensive rebounding thing has reared its head yet again. And then transition defense, it seemed like they went on 5 or 6 direct line, you know, off a live ball or even like a rebound and outlet all the way to the basket. So certainly some things that you've got to go back and really make important, you know, in that transition defense.
Postgame is brought to you by Mark Miller Subaru and the My Subaru Is campaign. Real stories from real Mark Miller Subaru customers. Subaru owners are diverse and each has a unique story to share. Read some and share your own. MySubaruIs.com. Your final Jazz fall to the Mavs tonight, 124-111. We'll have more player sound for you coming up next. You are listening to Utah Jazz Basketball.
Final horn has sounded.
That'll do it.
And it's time for the Mark Miller Utah Jazz postgame show with your hosts, Jake Scott and the coach, Tim Lacombe.
Jazz postgame, Jake Scott, coach Tim Lacombe. Jazz fall tonight, 124-111 to the shorthanded Dallas Mavericks. Postgame brought to you by Mark Miller Subaru and the My Subaru Is campaign. Real stories from real Mark Miller Subaru customers. Share your Subaru story for a chance to win prizes. Learn more and share markmillersubaru.com. Coach Lauri Markkanen tonight finished the game with 19 points, 9 of 17 shooting, 1 of 7 from 3 at 7 boards. But this is the first game in 20 games that he has not had 20 points. And not that Lowry was necessarily bad tonight. Don't get me wrong. I mean, he was 9 of 17 total from the field, but not quite the consistent, really good that we've been used to.
1 for 7 from 3. You'll see that a lot from him. Had a couple good looks. And then I thought Dallas did do a nice job of closing down space on him, but yeah, his game was not as free flowing certainly, and he wasn't the recipient a lot of extra passes in the corners per se, but 19 points nonetheless, 7 rebounds, but 1 for 7, took the most threes on the team with Beasley, and that's a big part of this team's identity on offense.
And it did not go well.
No.
And it's something that they certainly relied on early in the season, something that was consistently good, and it's interesting that it's gone, I don't want to say so dry, it's not like they're missing them all, but it has not been a strength of the team recently.
No, it's been a fight. It's been a battle. And, you know, I got a great tweet from a listener, and, you know, he said, you know, this team's got to get beyond, and Coach Hardy said it, you know, you miss some shots and it affects your effort. And unfortunately, it's true, but it shouldn't be the case. You know, one thing that this team's been pretty good at all year long is playing through everything. And I thought they got a little bummed out the last two games, you know, because they didn't make shots. And that can't be a hallmark of a good team.
That old, do you use the offense to drive the defense or defense to drive the offense thing?
All right. You've got to have an identity, both sides. And, you know, I just think the last, The offensive rebounding says a lot to me. It's just they basically came in and owned the turf.
Because the Jazz are not a great rebounding team, granted, and they've got some physical disadvantages there, right? They're a little bit short on on bigs in general, but good rebounding bigs especially. But it's not like Dallas is a great rebounding team. I mean, Dwight Powell was great tonight rebounding the basketball. Don't get me wrong. In fact, he had, let's see here, 16 rebounds tonight, 8 offensive rebounds. But to get smashed on the boards by Dallas, who's not an elite rebounding team, 49-37 is not good.
No, that's concerning because it's a number, again, this team has figured out. You mentioned they're not a great rebounding team, but they've figured out how to not make it as big an issue.
Yeah.
And the way they do that is everybody goes in and pitches in. But what they're missing right now is all those little pitch-ins in all the areas, whether it be driving it to come to you, immediately get rid of the ball. They're holding on to the ball a little bit longer. And they're not giving as much, you know, so there are things, you know, through the course of the year, you've just got to kind of clean up. And Coach Hardy was well aware of those things and kind of listed them off in his comments.
By the way, going into tonight, Dallas, the worst rebounding team in the league.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's not
doesn't make any sense.
No. Let's get back down to the locker room, Jamil, and the podium, in fact, and let's hear from Lauri Markkanen.
Like, you guys didn't really have the chip on your shoulder and the focus that you've had the rest of the season. Is that similar to how you guys felt in the locker room afterwards?
Yeah, disappointing. Give them credit. Obviously, stuff that they've been through the last couple of days and just coming out here, and they played better than us. They played harder than us, and so I give credit to them, but I don't think we were ready to play, and we weren't kind of in it so from the start. So got to be better than that. Can't take nights off. And
Is there any specific reason that you guys weren't ready for tonight, or could it be different for every guy? Or
I don't know. I think we prepared well. Just it's a good example about the NBA that anybody can beat anybody. I know they had some guys out, but they're still all good NBA players, and you gotta respect that, and just. It's got to come out hard, not expect that they're going to give us anything. So, obviously, we didn't make a lot of shots tonight, but that happens in the NBA. We just got to be able to find a way to get some stops and get into the game that way. So, disappointing, but give them credit. They played well.
When you say that you guys weren't ready to play, what were the areas that kind of stand out to you where you guys were a little deficient tonight?
Just focus. Just knowing exactly what we're in defensively and offensively, the matchups, and knowing the personnel, that what their tendencies are, kind of having that general focus throughout the game, I think. And then just that goes into, really that's everything, because that goes into rebounding and rotations and stuff like that. So they made some shots, but we got to do a better job of staying locked in the whole game and do what's needed to kind of get the win. But in a tough night.
You mentioned the stuff they've went through, all the trades that they just had. How difficult is this week just to kind of zero in on basketball with all the rumors flying around?
I don't personally find it really difficult because obviously I've been traded a couple times, not during the season, but kind of unexpectedly, and it's just control what you can control. That's how I look at it. Kind of, I wasn't at my best today, and that happens in the NBA. But so I gotta do a better job. But I don't know how everybody else feels. I haven't talked to them about that. But I mean, I've been this sixth time going through the trade deadline, so it's part of the NBA. But we can't control that, and we just gotta show up to work every morning for practice, every night for the games, and that's all we can do. So that's what we're going to keep doing tomorrow as well. So,
offensive rebounding wise, you guys have 3 7-footers or 3 guys over 6'11", and you're starting to line up there. It's smaller, right? So what happens on the offensive glass on a night like tonight when they're able to get as many offensive rebounds as they did?
I'm not saying that's the only reason, but I think sometimes we're like, it's not 3 7-footers under the rim, like we're switching out onto perimeter a lot too. But I think just today's game, shooting a lot of threes. It's going to be a lot of long rebounds as well. So it's, we can get a couple unlucky bounces a game, but it's more about the effort and getting the 50-50 balls and then just fighting for the ball. And just, we got to do a better job, obviously, rebounding. But cause they got some easy ones down there, but yeah.
There you go, Lowry. Lowry Markkanen. 19 points for Lowry, 9 of 17 shooting, 1 of 7 for 3, 7 boards, couple of assists. And Lowry's not the most, what am I looking for, energetic post-game interview per se. But you could hear in his voice, you know, it's tough. This is a tough stretch for this team.
And, yeah, and I think that he's, you know, it's frustrating, but I think it's also really encouraging when your best player is accountable,
yeah,
and really humble. And I sense that from Lowry. I think in that, you know, for him to say, I didn't play my best and I've got to do a better job. I think if you can have an organization where that actually happens, where there's self-reflection, transparency, and then, you know, true, honest feedback that helps the cause, which I do believe is the case here. You know, you're going to have growth, and they're not, that's not to me mention there's going to be some tough times, and yeah, they're in the middle of one of those right now. They're figuring their way through it, but these two nights certainly are different from what we've really kind of grown accustomed to with this team. So, you know, it's a matter of just getting things back the way this team functions better.
Coach Hardy mentioned that honesty is kind of his thing. He's going to be upfront with players, and I get that vibe from him, accountability, and not kind of in the false accountability, like my bad kind of way.
Right.
Yeah, it feels like he's pretty real with what he shares with his team, and honestly, what he shares with the media in the post game. It felt like Lowry was that way too.
Yeah, it's again, it leads to when you've got all the pieces in place, and then you can keep that culture. You've got kind of all your ducks in a row. This team's going through an awkward time, I think, you know, to have your name kind of thrown around the way these, literally every guy's name, I think, at one time or another. So that seems to be something this week and in the last week that could perhaps affect an energy on the team. So something to look at, but all the while, there's a lot of, you know, things that are expected when the guys are out there on the floor with their minutes, and Coach Hardy will continue to coach that.
124-111 is your final Jazz fall tonight to the Mavericks. Post game brought to you by Mark Miller Subaru and the My Subaru Is campaign. Real stories from real Mark Miller Subaru customers. Subaru owners are diverse and each has a unique story to share. Read some and share your own. MySubaruIs.com. We'll have more for you coming up next. You're listening to Utah Jazz Basketball.
Wow! The outcome is in the books. Let's get to the reaction. Hear from the coaches, the players, as well as the coach, Tim Lacombe. It's the Mark Miller Utah Jazz Postgame Show. Here's Jake Scott.
Jazz Postgame, Jake Scott, Coach Tim Lacombe. Tough one for the Jazz tonight. They fall to the shorthanded Mavericks 124-111. Postgame is brought to you by Mark Miller Subaru and the My Subaru Is campaign. Real stories from real Mark Miller Subaru customers. Share your Subaru story for a chance to win prizes. Learn more and share at markmillersubaru.com. Let's hit on the Chick-fil-A foul shot review of the game. Download a whole new way to Chick-fil-A. Earn rewards with the Chick-fil-A One app. Tonight, the Jazz from the line were 23... Let's see, make sure I got that right. 23 of 26. Jordan Clarkson went to the line 15 times. He was 12 of 15. But how about this? Lowry Markkanen didn't go to the line once.
Seems so crazy.
Well, on a night where the Jazz took 26 free throws, I would guess that Lowry would have had one of those. But he did not.
Yeah, that's an outlier for sure. You know, he got downhill a few times too, as I recall. But pretty strange for him not to go. He's been kind of making a living of getting to the line.
Yeah, he's been very good. I mean, he had that one game where he was what, 17 of 21 from the line. Dallas though, they got to the line 31 times, so they were 27 of 31 from the line. I keep going back to Jaden Hardy. I can't believe we're talking about Jaden Hardy this much. Guy who averages 5 points a game, but he had 29 tonight, and he went to the line 9 times. 9 of 9.
Absolutely.
What a game.
He was terrific. He really was. And, you know, I know there's quite a legend of him out there. Really young guy, rookie in his first year. You know, spent some time in Henderson, Nevada, and made the most of his opportunity, just getting 10 minutes a game, and that jumps up to 26. And he did a good job of really showing the NBA and its fans what he can do.
Henderson, lovely.
Lovely spot. Uncle Gary lives there. I've been there.
Yeah, 29 tonight. And, yeah, you've been down there recently. Josh Green also had 29. Nice young player for Dallas, 10 of 17, shooting 3 of 6 from 3.
Green's getting better. You know, I feel like just his feel over a year's period of time, you see some real growth. And some of his stuff is what we talk about sometimes with Colin Sexton, is the ability to go really fast but still be able to play with a little bit of nuance, and I think that he's starting to figure that out. He had a very nice game tonight.
All right, let's go back down to the locker room. Time to hear from Rudy Gay.
Well, Rudy Gay, double-figure scoring night for you. I thought your energy was important, particularly a nice slam dunk for you. How did you contribute tonight, even though it wasn't the outcome? Don't laugh at me for asking that. You're laughing at me.
I mean, you know, it was good to be out there, but... You know, obviously, we wish we would have got the win.
Okay, why are they teasing us about that? It was a good dunk.
You know.
They don't appreciate it?
I don't know. I don't get too many dunks nowadays. But I don't know. Just teammates found me. Just played the right way. That's all.
That's why we're celebrating the dunk. Okay, but this was a disappointing game in the respect of transition defense. I know that's an area you guys talk about. How does it get better?
I think it's just a mentality more than anything. It's been on Achilles heel all year. But, you know, honestly, it's just something we have to just lock in our brains. There's nothing that coach can say to make us want to do it. We have to be competitive and just do it every time. You know, that's part of the game. So, that's something that we definitely have to, you know, put emphasis in for the second half of the season.
Okay, I saw Mom walking in. Is there ever, like, more energy, want to perform better when Mom's in the building? Yes.
She's always watching, so it's the same thing.
It's always good.
All
right. I know you guys have lost a couple back-to-back, but how do you kind of regroup and get together for Minnesota coming up on Wednesday?
Well, that's a big game for us. We put ourselves in a little bit of a hole, so the next game is going to be even bigger. You know, we have to go back to the drawing board, see what we can do better. Minnesota's a team that, you know, we've kind of been up and down with, but, you know, this is an important game for us, so we need to get this one.
Thank you so much.
No problem.
Rudy Gay doesn't want to talk about the dunk, Coach.
We shall not talk about the dunk.
He said he doesn't dunk often.
No, not enough to talk about. But he did. What did I say? He stuffed it. That was a stuff. Was not a dunk. He just kind of, without getting too high, just threw it through the hoop.
2 points. It went through the cylinder. 10 for Rudy Gay coming in off the bench. 5 of 11 shooting, couple of assists, a rebound, and had some family. Mom was in the audience tonight.
Yeah, Mom was here. I would imagine, you know, you said Mom watches every night. I imagine that'd be the case, but always kind of cool when you got family in town. And I thought, you know, in Rudy's minutes out there, he did a good job tonight.
The veterans on the team, Rudy Gay, and I'm thinking Mike Conley played well tonight. 10 points, 11 assists, only 1 of 4 from three, as the whole team struggled from three, but was 4 of 8 from the field and kind of continued to be Mike.
11 assists, 2 turnovers. Just impressive. I love looking at that number every night. He's been so solid there. Shot the ball okay tonight, just 1-3, but I really like that. Spin move through the lane. That was
nice.
Right off on the heels of Rudy Gay's dunk, and it was kind of like going back in time.
13 turnovers total for the Jazz tonight, which is a pretty good number. But the offensive rebounds is really what got them. They gave up 17 offensive boards, and they're going to have to figure out. Not figure it out. They know the recipe to rebound the ball well. I feel like we've heard Coach Hardy talk about it a number of times here on the postgame show. They've got to stay focused and rebound as a team, and we certainly didn't see that tonight.
6 for 31 from three as well. You are really going to struggle when it's a huge part of what you do to not make, you know, that's 19.4% if you're counting at home, so... Rough night shooting the ball, but again, it should never that should never bleed into, like he said, the defensive side and particularly your effort. That should never have that effect on you, on your team.
Post game brought to you by Mark Miller Subaru and the My Subaru Is campaign. Real stories from real Mark Miller Subaru customers. Subaru owners are diverse and each has a unique story to share. Read some. Share your own. MySubaruIs.com. Coming up next, we've got your play of the game. We'll get Coach Lacombe's final thoughts on this one. You're listening to Utah Jazz Basketball.
Ronnie Hook blocked it.
The final box score is printed. Jake Scott and the coach Tim Lacombe are breaking down how it all happened on the Mark Miller Utah Jazz postgame show.
Oh, my! Jazz have their starting five on the floor, which has been plus 20 this year when it's on the floor for 100 possessions. Hardaway, free throw line, jumper, no good. Kessler rebound. Outlet to Conley. He gives a signal, now lobs it. Markkanen, right-hand hammer!
Great pass, but more importantly, he caught that with one hand. A one-handed controlled dunk.
Lock and Boone right there, your play of the game. Brought to you by Larry H. Miller Dealerships for service, sales, and selection. LHMauto.com, driven by you. Jazz fall tonight to the Mavs, 124-111. Jake Scott, Coach Tim Lacombe. Post game brought to you by Mark Miller Subaru and the My Subaru Is campaign. Real stories from real Mark Miller Subaru customers. Share your Subaru story for a chance to win prizes. Learn more and share MarkMillerSubaru.com. Great play of the game right there. Jamil picked it, but might have been the exception as opposed to the rule. That was a play where the Jazz really shared the ball well. I don't think that that was overall theme of the game tonight for the Jazz.
Well, they just missed opportunities, and I think you do it a few times, and it becomes habitual. But that play, the highlight play, was certainly one of the more exciting plays. A great, great lob, great vision and understanding by both guys. And then, the pass itself, the catch, and then that was, if you looking at home, that was a dunk. That was not a stuff. That was a dunk.
That was a dunk.
Yes.
All right, if you're just joining us, quick review. The Jazz had seven players in double figures in the loss tonight, led by Jordan Clarkson, 26 points, 7 of 19 shooting. He was 0 of 5 from 3, but 12 of 15 from the line. 19 for Lauri Markkanen. First game in 20 games, he hasn't had at least 20 points. He was 9 of 17 shooting, 1 of 7 from 3. He had 7 boards. Walker Kessler had 13 and 9. He also had 3 block shots, 11 for Kelly Olynyk. Mike Conley with a double-double, 10 points, 11 assists tonight. Rudy Gay and Colin Sexton both had 10 points apiece coming in off the bench. For the Mavericks, they had a career-high 29 points from Jaden Hardy tonight on 8 of 12 shooting, 4 of 6 in just 26 minutes coming in off the bench. Josh Green had 29 points tonight, too. He was 10 of 17, 3 of 6 from 3. Tim Hardaway Jr. had 17, Reggie Bullock with 13. The Mavs shot 46% from the field, but were 15 of 39 from 3, whereas the Jazz, Coach Lacombe, just 6 of 31 from 3, sub 20% from beyond the arc tonight.
Going to leave a mark. You know, that's going to be a hard one to win. This team does a great job of moving the ball and making shots. It's been kind of a theme all year, but tonight just a struggle to get the ball to go in the hoop. And then, you know, again, it's not bad intention. Coach Hardy talked about it, but when it's not, you know, that's not working, ball that isn't going in the hoop, guys, you know, maybe over dribble or try to force it and you get out of rhythm. And I think that was pretty evident that, you know, that happened tonight across the team.
First time this year, Coach Hardy has used the word disappointed. Kind of stood out to me tonight.
Yeah. And you would be. I think this is a game because of everything we talked about in the pregame, the uncertainty in Dallas of, the guys who were going to play and the guys who weren't going to play, certainly playing a huge role for this team this year. But it was just one where when detail and attention to detail and then also, you know, some execution things, some focus things, that'll get to you as a coach, but not something that you can't forgive and forget, certainly kind of part of going through a season.
All right, Coach, couple of final thoughts before we turn the page on this one.
Well, they've got to figure it out, quickly. I know we're on the heels of the trade deadline, and if there is some, you know, angst or some lingering things with that, hopefully all that stuff can get sorted out, you know, and this team can kind of get back on the track. But I do believe that, you know, playing Minnesota Wednesday night will be a really difficult game, but one that I these guys will be ready to play. They're professionals, and I do believe to a man they felt like they left a little bit out there tonight.
Big thanks to everybody who helped with the broadcast. Coors Locke and Boone. Appreciate the broadcast assistants that helped out with us tonight. Thanks to Jamil Hawkins, executive producer, of course, of our Jazz broadcast. Thanks to Mark Miller Subaru, the title sponsor of the Post Game Show and the My Subaru Is campaign. Real stories from real Mark Miller Subaru customers. Subaru owners are diverse and each has a unique story to share. Read some and share your own at MySubaruIs.com. And, of course, Coach Lacombe, thank you very much.
Thank you, my friend.
124-111 is your final. The Jazz fall tonight to the Mavericks. Up next, Jazz take on Rudy Gobert and the Minnesota Timberwolves on Wednesday night. Tip-offs at 7. Pre-game begins at 6. You have been listening to Utah Jazz basketball.
A gun in the face.
Then all of a sudden, they all kind of lined up. They pointed their guns at me. And this is the point where I thought, I'm going to die today.
Started 2 years of horror for an American in Venezuela.
They said, you need to give us your phone and get ready because you're coming with us.
I'm Becky Bruce, and I spent a year researching and piecing together Josh and Tammy Holt's story about their ordeal in a notorious prison.
That's when everything started to turn bad. We had another pound on the door. Boom, boom, boom. And there was the police once again.
You can binge all of the episodes of Hope and Darkness on KSLpodcasts.com or wherever you get your podcasts.